This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, and I have a wonderful guest with us today. We're going to talk about the courage to be truly kind to others. I love that subject matter. But before we start and I introduce him, I just want to do a quick announcement. I'm working on my newest book of contributing authors called Dare to Be Authentic, Let Yourself Prosper. This will be the fifth in the series of Dare to Be Authentic books. And I'm looking for contributors right now. If you have a story to tell about authenticity and allowing yourself to prosper, give me a call. Now, allowing yourself to prosper does not mean financial only, but it means all types of prospering, whether it be in health, in relationships, just in life in general. So if you're interested, give me a buzz at 954-243-7297 or visit my website, lifecoachmari.com. That's lifecoachmari.com. And with no further delay, I'd like to introduce my guest. His name is Jeff Hutzel, and he is chair and executive coach for Five Vistage CE and CEO Peer Advisory Groups in the greater Kansas City area. And he's author of the book, I Really Meant to Tell You, and we're going to be really talking about that today. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Thank you, Mari. It's great to be here. Appreciate you having me.
It's so great to have you. We had a nice conversation a few weeks ago, and we just had to have you on my show. And the first thing I wanted to ask you is, why do you believe that authenticity is the basis of what we do in life?
Well, that's a great question, especially at the global level. Let me speak to it in terms of what I do. I coach over 65 business owners. So I have to be pretty authentic, because imagine the amount of time they spend talking to people who are imposters, pleasers, or people trying to sell them something. They've almost learned to shut off their brain when people are coming at them. And that's true kind of the whole world. I have to show two things in order to be authentically valued by anybody. One is I kind of need to be seen as somebody that knows what I'm talking about. So that makes you say, okay, this guy's got something to talk about. And then I need to be seen as someone that they could care about, or who they believe care in them. You know, I have to find that person in the seat and tell him or her that I truly care. My favorite example I use is my mom. My mom says something to me like, you are the greatest business person in the world. Well, clearly B is right. I love my mom. So that's good. But I don't really count her as an expert in knowing who the very best business person is in the world. So I do have to discount the statement, even though I love her.
Right. And even though she's speaking from her heart, even though she really means it, you know, I love that example. That's really cool. So is it necessary for your clients to also be authentic for them to achieve what they desire in their life and in their business?
Well, I really do, because it's funny. People think that back in the old days, you used to like, say it's showtime when you went to work. You dressed up, you acted differently, you did the thing. But truly, all we really want is people who are fundamentally predictable and trustworthy. And if you're predictable and trustworthy, you kind of have to be authentic, because otherwise you're not going to be who you really are, and it doesn't work out. So people don't know who's showing up on any given day. So they need to be authentic so they can count on them. The same Jeff will show up every day, so I know how to work with him.
Okay, so by predictable, you mean that they'll be there when they said they were? Explain that a little bit, the predictable part.
Well, exactly. And the predictable and the authenticity. I know that this person is authentic when they react to news in a very similar way. So if one day I come in and I say something and my boss blows up, I think, oh, well, that's the way it's always going to be. I go in the next time and he doesn't blow up. He's very understanding. I'm now confused. I don't know what to expect when I walk in there. So if I don't know which is the authentic, which is the real boss. Should I be listening to the one who blows up or the one who's this very decent and, you know, calm individual? And that confuses people. And I can tell you this, when you're confused about somebody, I believe there's only two things that people really want to know in relationship. How am I doing with you, and what's that mean? Well, imagine if you have no idea how you're doing with your boss. because you're confused, then what's going to happen is you're going to say, I wonder what that means for me. And if you, in the absence of truth and knowledge, people start making stuff up, and it's generally not good. It's like, if I don't know where I stand with the boss, I'm probably going to get fired. Not both of those statements could not be true, and it's the boss's responsibility to make sure people know where they stand with them.
Wow. You know what? I had a huge aha moment when you said that, because I have been dealing with people like that since I was a little girl. I remember going to school and having this little quote-unquote friend, girlfriend. One day I was the best thing since sliced bread, and she loved me. And then next day she wouldn't talk to me. And that's exactly how I felt, completely confused. I'm like, what did I do? And I'd scratch my head, and I would rack my brains trying to figure out what I did to this girl, right? Well, I've had that experience through my life, you know, even now. So that's a really
good.
Go ahead.
Well, I appreciate you picking up on that because, you know, people tell me, they said, that's not just business and bosses. That's husbands and wives.
Right.
You know, if suddenly I don't know how my wife is feeling about me, I go to a dark place. You know, it's like, I have no idea what's going on. So we want to know where we stand with sons, daughters, parents, friends, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I go back to the word that you so beautifully use in your title here. It's authentic. Authentic means I truly know how I stand with this individual. Therefore, I am comforted by that.
Mm. I love that. I love that definition. And it's so true that in relationships, I have found that's what I've learned, that if you're your authentic self, if you're who you really are and you say what you want and what you need and you express yourself truthfully and honestly, that's the only way to go with relationships. So you're bringing this into business, which I think is fascinating, because in the business world, I remember being taught you just it was a fake thing. I started out in the World Trade Center in New York City, you know, one of the biggest cities in the world for commerce. And authenticity was not really touted back then. It was like, get the work done and you know, and put on a face and just do it, and that's it. So I love what you're bringing forth. It's beautiful, Jeff.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the truth is, and I don't like to be generational in all this, but I do believe that the millennial generation, which many baby boomers are having a hard time working with, is because they don't cotton to any of this nonsense. I mean, today's Halloween, we used to dress up to go to work and pretend like we were a boss. The millennials see that and see right through it. They said, I'm not going to work for this person. They're not being an honest and honorable person. I want them to know, I want the authentic people that I want to work with, because then we're going to get a much better message.
Yeah, I agree. And I love the millennials for that, because we have evolved. We as a society have evolved, and they've decided they're not going to, you know, they're not going to put up with that stuff, and that they're going to be who they are. And they struggle with it. I have kids. They struggle with it. They struggle with people who are not authentic. They struggle with the people who do what you say. One day they're happy as pie. The next day they're screaming in their face, and they're like, what's going on? So I'm glad you brought that up, because I don't like to be generational either, but we do see things evolve, you know, through time, through eras, things evolve. Sometimes we go backwards a little bit, and then we evolve one more. Very good.
Oh, yeah.
So Jeff, what is the main message that you want to bring? Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to make one more example that I find so fascinating. I was talking with people when I wrote my book about, you know, what they do about this and all that sort of thing. And I found that there were actually individuals, and I won't name names, but I will say more of the baby boom generation era, who said, you know, if you over compliment somebody, they'll just want something in return. They'll take advantage of that. And when I heard that, it made me so sad, but I get it. That's why people, when they do performance reviews, they say, Mari, you're the best this, you're the best that, you're the best this, and then the big but comes in. But you need to work on this, this, and this, so that you balance.
Right.
It doesn't get overhand, and you don't give them the upper hand, and I'm using air quotes on that. That is just crazy.
Right.
Like, why do we have to back off on honest compliments? Because we're afraid that they're going to come back and use it against us? That's just kind of sad.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember don't compliment. I've always been a complimenting person. It's just in my personality. I can't help myself. I compliment everybody, cashier, whoever. I've always been that way. But I remember being told, you can't compliment people too much, because then they think they're too good. Then they think they're too great. Then they get a big head. Then they want to be better than you. And like you say, it's just crazy, warped thinking. And I'm glad that you're bringing this out in your book. And is that the main message you want to bring to the public?
Well, I think what I want to do, because I've been thinking about, because people have asked me before, what's the main message? I think I knew why I wanted to write a book, but the main message is a different question. So thank you for that. But I think in today's time of incredibly deep division, extreme partisanship, and the total loss of the ability to have a proper argument, social discourse of anything kind, it's like, I think all I want to do is help remind us what it feels like to receive and give wonderful compliments, and then to find the courage to do that yourself. That's it. That's simple.
That's simple, but not easy if you've not been trained to do so. I love your message. And, you know, thinking back to, I grew up in New York City, as I said before, and New York City is one of the, you know, it's one of those melting pots. There's people from everywhere, every color, every nationality, every creed, you name it. When I was growing up, we didn't have a problem with that. Believe it. We, you know, we talked to everybody, accepted everybody. That's just the way it was. So as you say, things have shifted, and coming back to this, complimenting right from your heart. If you see something you like in someone, whether it be something physical or even in their personality, like you're so kind, or, you know, thank you for that, is really necessary. Nobody talks about that. And I'm so happy that you're here to talk to us about that. So tell us a little bit about your book. First, tell us why you wrote it. What was your initial intention? Because I know that later that shifts sometimes as a writer.
Of course. I would have to say, I'm kind of embarrassed to say it, that it was just on a bucket list. It was a book I wanted to write, but I didn't know what it was going to be about. I didn't know when I was going to do it. I kept putting it off. As I said, I work with a lot of these people that I do coaching for. Well, they coach me as well. They come back to me and say, Jeff, why haven't you written a book yet? And I said, well, I'm not. I haven't experienced everything in life yet. I want to wait till I've got the grand opus to write, right? And the guy stopped and he looked at me and he said, Jeff, that's nonsense. Why don't you just write your first book? And that helped me so much, because I totally said, that is a great comment. It took the pressure off writing a perfect book. It said, say what you got to say, and if you got something else to say, say it in another book. Never thought about that as an option. So I thank him for that, because it kind of got me off the dime. And then I said, what do I want to talk about? I was inspired by a slew, like 6 meetings in a row. I will go to their office and have one-to-one meetings with them. And like 6 times in a single month, someone was sitting there and they looked pretty mopey and sad. And I said, oh, what's wrong? Tough week? And they looked at me and they kind of shell-shocked and said, this week or this morning, Bob quit. I'm like, Bob? Your number 2 person? The person that was going to take over for you? The one that you're going to sell the company to? The one that you thought was like a true son? And then they would shift over from the heart, because the first comment was from the heart. Then they went to the head and said, well, but, you know, I shouldn't really stand in the way. They got a great offer. It's a good thing for them. You know, it probably was meant to be, in which case I will kind of call the BS word and say, wait a minute, did you tell them everything you told me about how important they were to you? And they would respond with things like, well, you know, I paid him a lot of money. No, that wasn't my question. You know, well, he has the biggest office and he's always, you know, travels with me. It's like, that wasn't my question. Have you sat there and said that part of the reason I get out of bed every morning, throw off the covers and come into work is I enjoy working with you and teaching and mentoring you as a human being? And he said, well, I really meant to tell him, and there was my title. So I was talking to my daughter, the teacher, and she said, well, what's this book about? And I said that, and she goes, Dad, come on, that's not a business concept. That's everybody. How many times have we failed to say the right thing before a spouse leaves, or a child, you know, runs away from you, or your friendship is over? So she got me, you know, I instantly said, gosh, I'm out of my business world now. This is the real world. Everybody has this problem. So that's kind of where it came from.
That's awesome. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back and talk more about Jeff's book, and appreciation is coming up in my head. So I think we're going to talk about that as well. But we will be right back. But if you want to call in and ask Jeff a question, the number is 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869, and you can start calling now. We'll be right back.
Hello, Do you have more months than money at the end of the month? Do you want to have more control of your finances so you can get out of bad debt and build wealth? My name is Karen Ford, and I help people demolish debt, budget, invest, and build wealth. My book, Money Matters, is found on Amazon or on my website, KarenFord.org.
An American Story, My Family and Yours, is a book written by Dr. Mamie Smith that supports the idea that spirituality is the foundation to freeing mankind of human beliefs. You will find this book on booklocker.com and amazon.com. An American Story, My Family and Yours.
Well, we're back at Dare to Be Authentic Radio with guest Jeff Hutzel, author of I Really Meant to Tell You, which is what we were just talking about. He told us that where his inspiration from the book came from. I love that the inspiration came from your daughter for the title, I Really Meant to Tell You. So, so Jeff, tell us about the book, why you wrote it, and, you know, and what your purpose for it is as people read it.
Sure. Well, obviously, when you first write a book, you don't even know how to do that. So, and this isn't a show about book writing. This is just to admit I was woefully unable to figure out what you do about this. But the what motivated me was I said, you know what? I'm going to ask people. So I went to my whole email list. Let's say it's 500 people, and picked out 200 names and sent them an email with a request. And I said, would you be willing to share with me for a book that I'm writing? I will not use names or addresses, but I will tell the story in writing on one of three subjects that you care to share with me. One would be a story of regret, which is tell us about a time you didn't say something in a relationship and what happened with that situation. One of redemption, tell us about a time when you did say something and what happened to that relationship. And then one for restoration, how about when somebody said something to you that had on your relationship? So I sent those out, not knowing what to expect. I got like 55 things back. Blows me away in a pretty even mix. So I kind of said, okay, I'm going to curate these stories, put them into these buckets, because the first part of the book talks about why I believe people have such a hard time doing this. The second part is people showing how hard a time they have doing it. And then on the back end of the book, I'm trying to help people overcome those problems so that they too can be able to do what the redemption people did. So that was kind of how it came together and how the story ended up telling itself. And I'll share one thing with you that I find fascinating and troubling, and I'm not sure what to do about it, but a third of the stories came in and they were of the regret. I never did get around to saying this, blah, blah, blah. Do you know that over half of those stories that somebody told me that they cared enough about to write down, think about, send, share with the public, and both parties are still living? That's kind of sad.
Wow.
If you really still hold that regret, you know, I went back to almost all of them and said, you realize it's not too late. And it has inspired a lot of people to do something about it.
It has. Well, that's wonderful. If it inspires one person to do something, Jeff, I think that, I know that your book is a success. I mean, as a writer, I know that we write for a purpose. And even if it is fun or even if you want to tear your hair out sometimes, but if one person does that, reconciliates or says something, you know, before it's too late, your purpose is done as far as I know, because I know you're hard on this. I think it's beautiful. I love the way it came about. You know, it takes a lot of courage. Why do you think I call my show Dare to Be Authentic? The word dare means it takes a lot of courage. It takes guts for you to even to go out there and reach out to these 200 people. There's a humbling there. And then for you to go and take these stories and then write your book and then expose yourself to the world. Because as an author, as a writer, once you're published, you're exposed. Everything is out there for people to see. So you know what? I admire your courage, and I love that you've taken this subject. I've never known of anybody who should take this subject and say, look, compliment people. Tell them good things about themselves. Not phony stuff, not in that way, not in flattery, but in true compliments that come from the heart. I love it. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about how you know, what kind of compliments? Where do we have the opportunity for this? Whether it be with our dear ones or work people, work-related people, or just out in public.
Sure. Let me tell you a kind of compliment first, because I spent a lot of time thinking about this. Somewhere in the last couple of years, somebody introduced to me the concept of the platinum rule. Have you heard of it compared to the golden rule?
Yes,
it's fascinating to me. I'd never really heard. The golden rule was do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And so if it was talking, it's say unto others as you would have them say unto you. And I'm like, I ran across this platinum rule. Listen to the difference. Do unto others as they would have you do unto them. That is so very different. The compliment I want to give them is the one I know they want to have, not the one I want to give them. The one I want to give them is mine. The one they want to have is the gift I can give them. Why do they want to have my compliment or my wording? Isn't that, it's so profound to me. It changed everything in the way I thought about it. Because I also said, part of the book, I said, who should you go compliment? And my natural reaction, Marie, was this. Find the people most important in your life and go compliment them. And I got to thinking about the platinum rule, and I said, no, find the people who need it the most and give them what they need. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
I get chilled just hearing that now again, because that was profound to me. It really was. So let me give you an example. There's two exercises that I shared with the readers out of about 10 of them, and I'll just share two of them with you. One I call care cards. I was fortunate enough to be blessed. I have a nuclear family of about 12 people now, because I've got two married kids and four grandkids and a single kid. So there's 11 or 12 of us. And for years, we'd not gone on family vacations. We would gather for the holidays or whatever, but because school was over, when you have school, you have automatic vacations because the school decides it. It's great. But when you're growing up, everybody splits. They're out there doing their thing. And 3 years ago, I just decided with my wife's help, we're going to organize a family trip every year. We're going to pick a time, convenient, inconvenient, doesn't matter. The only thing I'm going to do is pay for everything. It's amazing how much cooperation you get if you offer a completely free trip to everybody. I don't know.
Wow.
It just seems to work better. Okay, so they all come, and we get those, you know, there's bed and breakfast houses or the Airbnb houses that are big enough. I don't want to put us in hotel rooms. I want to put us, like, in a house someplace. So we get in this house, and I say, this is my gift to you all, because your gift is the time that you're giving to me. But I said, I make one requirement. At the end of every trip, we're going to have our final dinner, and we're going to tell each other what's on our care cards. And each trip, I have a different theme. So this last trip was write down the one thing you really want to do with the other person sitting across from me in the family. So there'd be 11 different people. Tyler, I want to go to a Red Sox baseball game with you. Rachel, I want to go learn to ski with you. And whatever it is. And it is so cool, because I've also had it done once. Write down the three things you admire most about everybody else in the family. And at the dinner, they have to sit and say it out loud, looking in the face of the person with all of us around. It's the most amazing feeling. You can't even imagine. But I'll tell you the magic. The magic is first of all, they roll their eyes and they say, Dad, they call me Clark Griswold from Family Vacation.
Yes.
It's like, you're the worst. You're Clark Griswold. And I kind of am. You know, I kind of respect what he's trying to do, capture the innocence and love of families. And they said, why do we have to do this? They really roll their eyes and everything. They're complaining all the time. But I know in my heart, if I didn't do it, they'd say, where's your stupid question? They're going to do that. So it's already a tradition. But as the week goes on, we haven't had I will walk out and I'll see somebody during nap time. You know, Rachel is sitting there on a chaise lounge, and I see her writing on the cards. Or it's late at night, and my 30-year-old son with the headphones on is sitting there writing on the cards. I cannot tell you the feeling that puts in my heart, not even know what they're saying, the fact that they're doing it.
That's one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard. What a wonderful way to bring a family together. And I, for one, wish I was part of your family and going on those free trips. I'm sure the listeners are thinking the same thing. Wow, that is so generous. Yeah. You know what? You have something in your heart that you're imparting to them, and you're doing this by example. And even though you kind of feel like you're forcing your hand, I love that Griswold, because I love Christmas Vacation is my favorite. I watch it every year. And you're right. All he wanted was to have Christmas with his family. And all you want is to have this intimacy, because that's what it is. It's an intimacy with your family that each of them can be honest and truthful and real with each other. And that is one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard, Jeff. Thank you for sharing that with us. That's just amazing.
Wow, I love the way you said it better than I did. That makes me feel good. But because the truth is,
now you can listen to
the truth
show
is, when I mean, think about this. When you're writing the card, you know, I asked them, I said, what are you thinking about when you're writing the card? They said, I'm thinking about what they would want me to say, not what I want to say to them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's beautiful. It's like, I care so much. Everybody's things, what do you want to do with this person? I noticed it was always about the other person. Rachel loves to ski, so I want to go learn to ski with her. It's like, well, that's so kind. Why, you know, I think it's all inside of us. We need to have not only permission, but I force it. It's like, no, you have to do this. This is just going to happen.
<You're right. laughs> Amazing. That reminds me of, for some reason, this come twice, so I have to speak up. The same thing goes with gift giving. Most people give gifts of what they like. You know, if I like I love journals, so I give a lot of journals. But if you really, really want to test somebody, you have to know what they like, because we're all different and we all like different things. Sometimes we like the same things, but gift giving is the same thing. What does the other person like? And you've completely blown my mind with this whole thing of do unto others as they would want done. This is going to change my life, Jeff. Thank you so much. That's amazing. So before we run out of time, I want you to tell the listener how they can get a hold of you in the book.
Go on Amazon.com and type in either my name, Russell, or easier to type in, I really meant to tell you. And that's the nice thing about having a store like Amazon. It's always available. I have it in ebook form. I've been told that I got to do an audio version, but I haven't done it yet. I will someday.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm available as Jeff Hutzel on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. But really, I'm just wanting the thing that I ask people is, if you read it, do something. Just do something. The book will inspire you to do something. And if you just do one thing, and God bless you, if you ever tell me about it, that really makes me happy. But it's like, I think I'll anyway, because it's not possible to read this book and not do anything. That you wouldn't finish the book. You'd give up early on because it's like, I'm not comfortable with this. But if you're comfortable, I think you will. And hopefully you'll say, thanks, Jeff, you gave me a good idea on how to do this. I was stuck. I didn't know how.
That's great. I love to do something, because nothing changes. I tell my client, if you want to change your life, if you want to have something you've never had before, you have to be willing to do something you've never done before. So as Jeff says, get the book. You can get it at Amazon. I really meant to tell you. Jeff Hutzel, H-U-T-S-E-L-L. You can also find him on my website. Just go to lifecoachmari.com, lifecoachmari.com, and go to my radio show page, and he's there already, and you can click right to his Amazon link for the book. Jeff, it's been an honor and just such a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I love what you're doing. I love your book. I really meant to tell you. It just is such a touching thing. And while we're still here and we're breathing, we always have that chance. You know, for the listener, if you have someone that you know you need to reconcile with, as you're listening to Jeff and he's talking in this space, maybe today's the day for you to reach out to someone. I know that you're afraid of rejection. We all are, but we don't know what might happen. And magical things can happen if you have the courage. Thanks for being with us today. And remember to join us tomorrow for another Dare to Be Authentic show.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide, with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.